Communion is one of those times where we have another opportunity that God gives us to just refocus a little bit on our relationship with Him. As I said, that relationship is personal. I have a relationship with God that's different than yours. Yours is different than mine, but that relationship is also corporate. And Paul brings that out here in Corinthians. And I know everybody's tradition is a little bit different. Maybe some traditions receive communion every single Sunday. Maybe some do it once a month. Maybe some do it a little bit more periodically. And they all have their reasons for doing that. At Grace, it's not something we do every single Sunday. It is more of a periodic thing. But I do like to use the opportunities and the services we have to just challenge myself, challenge us, to again be reminded of this new life we have in Jesus came at a great cost to Himself. This Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And this is a good reminder of the individual aspect of that, but also the corporate aspect of that. And Paul's going to deal with that in 1 Corinthians, because there are some issues at this church, specifically with communion. There's some issues in how they are receiving communion and the service itself that they do together and how that is viewed from the outside and even viewed from other church family members as they gather together. And Paul must have gotten word of this, and so he writes a letter to the church. And that letter comes in the form of what we call 1 Corinthians. It was his first letter to a church gathered together in a city called Corinth. And he reminds these Christians in this city of the importance of how we receive communion, our approach to receiving the bread and receiving the wine, or in our case, the Welch's grape juice. Or depending if they got it at Aldi's or not, they don't carry Welch's. I don't know what kind it is. But that's what we do. We have grape juice. But Paul says, make sure you're doing that in the right way. And that is, as individuals, he's going to use the words, examine yourselves then. And that kind of has a, Ted's got to do that. Ted needs to examine himself. But then he actually brings into it this aspect of the corporateness of what's taking place in communion. And he'll use the word discerning the body of Christ. I think Paul is doing two things there. Not only discerning Christ's actual death as Ted, like Jesus physically died, but discerning the body of Christ in the sense that this is something corporate that's taking place as well. Because when Jesus returns, when the Lamb that was slain receives honor and glory and power, and we see that scene in heaven where 10 times 10,000s of heavenly hosts are praising God, when Jesus returns and every knee bow and tongue confesses, he's returning for his bride, which is the church. See, we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. The church universal represents Christians all over the globe. And I have the privilege of traveling to some of those places and worshiping with them and taking communion with them and being reminded of this corporate nature of what Jesus did through his death on the cross, of joining together all these people that we now call brothers and sisters. There's this corporate aspect to it. It's the church universal, but we know we can't know everybody on earth that's a Christian. It's impossible. So we have this local expression of the body of Christ. We did that the last Sunday of June. The reception of members to Grace Church means, and that's why we do membership, that's what we're indicating. We think it's an important thing to say, you are publicly professing the incorporation into Christ's body because you have confessed him as Lord. And that incorporation into his body gets lived out and played out in the local expression we call the church, and we happen to call that church Grace EC Church in Schuylkill Haven. So there is a corporate aspect to what we're doing as followers of Jesus, because my sin doesn't just impact Ted. My sin impacts you too. Maybe I've treated you in a way you don't deserve to be treated. That's possible. I'm not perfect. Maybe my tone with you was mistaken. It happens in my house all the time. I'm not saying anything that should be bad, but Ted, it's your tone. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of one of Ted's tones. And I didn't know that that happened, and maybe you really made me mad, and I did know that it happened. See, my sin isn't just mine. We know sin has a way of influencing, impacting a lot of other things. And so there's this element of corporateness. And even in Scripture, we hear that if there's any sin between you and your brother or sister, go to that person, forgive them, or ask for forgiveness before you come to the table, meaning before you sit down and have communion together. And so Paul's going to bring this out because communion is individual, yes. Jesus died for Ted's sins. I've confessed that, and I'm thankful, and my life has been different ever since I've embraced that reality. But Jesus also died for his church. And Ted's sin impacts other people as well. And so because that's the reality, Paul is writing this letter to address that issue. Now, specifically, it had to do with meals. In the first century, most times, scholars believe there was some kind of meal prior to communion. Of course, we know, especially in Jewish settings, this meal that took place was the Passover meal. Remember our Easter time frame. Jesus in the Last Supper in the upper room. They're having a meal together. That was something Jews always did at Passover. But Jesus transformed that Passover meal as he was now putting himself in the place of the sacrificial lamb. Jesus was going to be that sacrifice. And so in the first century, many Christians together, they gathered and they had a meal. Some traditions still do that now. Some traditions still have a meal together before they would have communion. And it seems that in the church in Corinth, that was causing issues, divisions, problems. It probably looked like some kind of potluck supper. That's what we would do. We do a potluck supper. You make something at home and you bring it. And then you share it with everybody. And so we're trying to make enough to have enough food for everybody. Well, it seems like that was kind of happening here. Something like that was going on. And the more well-to-do Christians were not sharing with the Christians who were poorer. The Christians who had become a part of this church, but didn't have the funds and finances to prepare anything to actually bring and share. And so in verse 17 through 22, Paul is addressing that in chapter 11. He's talking about divisions that are happening. There's this separation that's taking place. The more well-to-do Christians are kind of ignoring the poorer Christians. And Paul is basically saying that that should not happen in the church. And he actually uses communion as the argument for why it ought not to happen. Because when we come to that table, when we come to receive communion, we are all equal. We're all in the same playing field. We're all on the same level. I don't come to that table as the pastor of Grace EC Church. I come to that table as Ted Rathman, a sinner in need of grace. This was not the way things were being viewed in Corinth. And it was causing problems within the church. Divisions that were taking place. And actually, one of the uniting aspects of communion is helping us see what God has done in Christ in a corporate way. It shouldn't divide us. It actually should bring us together. That's why one of the things I do when I'm in a foreign country is have communion. I look different. I sound different. Most places I am the same height. But everything about me is different. But somehow, with this bread and this cup, all those people so different from me, we come to the table exactly the same. Sinners in need of grace. And in this act, God unites his church. So October, we have worldwide communion. And we celebrate communion with churches all over the world to remind ourselves of this symbolic act that's taking place. We call it a sacrament. In the Protestant church, we have baptism and communion as sacraments. This sign and seal of what God has done for us, his church. This sign, this simple thing, this bread, an everyday simple thing that in the first century, even if you were poor, people had bread. Wine, it was just the normal thing. Two very simple elements that God transforms in some mysterious way to remind us of the grace he pours out on us and this bringing together, this unifying something that we call the body of Christ. And so this thing that should bring unity is actually causing separation in the church in Corinth. And so to address that situation, Paul writes this letter, 1 Corinthians. We're going to read, I just explained to you what the problem was. And now we're going to read what Paul says about that problem. And he uses communion for his argument of why they ought to be different. He says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." This church was planted by Paul. So when he planted the church, they probably celebrated communion together. And he probably taught them what communion represented and what it was all about. And now I need to remind you of what I already taught you. And he says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now he's just directly quoting what Jesus said with his disciples at that meal in the upper room. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, every time you do this act of the breaking of the bread and drinking the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." There's something that we're doing. This act is proclaiming that the Lord's death, that Jesus physically dying, being executed and put on that cross, we are proclaiming that that death actually brings life. So much so that as Christians in the 21st century, we wear earrings that have the cross. We'll wear necklaces that have the cross. We'll wear jewelry that has the cross. In the first century, that image meant death. The cross was only used as a form of execution and the worst kind. And we wear it around our neck, we put it on our ears, we wear it all over us because it actually means life to us. And so this bread and this cup, we are proclaiming that in Jesus' death, we actually find life. Because that is the sacrament, the sign and seal that God has given the church. So I can do this in Nepal and it means the exact same thing. Even though we're saying it in a different language and oftentimes we're using different things, these wafers that have been laying around for 100 years and sometimes orange soda, because that's all we have. Simple elements that are conveying something that unites us together in Jesus's death, that through his death, we, humanity, has life. That's how important this is, Paul is saying. So the divisions that are happening are proclaiming something that ought not to be proclaimed to the world around us. And so he goes on to say, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." And so he goes on to say then, everyone, this is that individual aspect of things I was talking about, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. So we walk in here this morning, and that is true of each one of us. As individuals, as Ted Rathman, I need to examine my own heart, my own life, and confess that sin to Jesus. Because that sin put him on the cross. And he willingly went there for me and for you. So we ought to examine ourselves then before we take this little simple element, this little piece of bread, which symbolizes that broken body, this cup, which symbolizes his poured out blood for us. Ted Rathman needs to do that. You need to do that as you walk in here today. Examine ourselves then before we come to the table, because we recognize what great cost it was to God the Father, to Jesus the Son, to die on the cross for us. And he says to them, "For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves." So we know that in this communion aspect, we've got that individual side of things, but there's another element to this where Paul says, anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body of Christ, thinking on discerning the body of Christ, does that just mean Jesus' physical death on the cross? Now remember, Paul is using this in the midst of the conversation about the wrong stuff that's happening in the church corporately. And we know that all over Scripture, we're called the body of Christ. And when we join the church, we are incorporated into this body. And so Paul's saying we need to discern the body. I think it's this corporate aspect, in addition to the individual aspect of what communion is. Remember, for Jesus and the disciples, it was around a meal. They sat down together and shared in a meal. And Jesus broke that bread, and they continued to have that meal together and talk and share. And it wasn't until after supper, the scripture says, that he actually used the cup as the symbol of the new covenant. So that whole time, just think about your own meals. You invite somebody over into your home, you break bread together, and you sit around the table, and you talk, and you share, and you laugh, and you cry, and whatever you're doing. There's this corporate aspect to what Jesus is talking about here. See, my life impacts yours too. My sin impacts yours too. The way we treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, the world looks at all of that. And they draw conclusions about who this Jesus is, that this death that these people who call themselves Christians seem to be proclaiming. And that's why I think the scripture says, if there's anything between you and your brother or sister, go to that person, ask for forgiveness, or be forgiven. Because there's this corporate aspect. It matters how I treat you and how you treat me and how we treat one another. And it certainly matters, according here to Paul, before you take communion together. Now, we didn't share in a meal per se. Maybe you were here at 9:30 and you had some snacks. And we're milling around there and talking and sharing. And then you came in here and we're talking and sharing and we're interacting as the body of Christ. And so Paul is saying to us, we ought to examine ourselves as well. Because there's a corporate aspect to what Jesus has done through communion. I can't be the body of Christ alone. I am only the body of Christ with the body. And so as Christians, that's why it's important for us to get connected into a church. Because Jesus is returning for his church. And Paul uses communion to symbolize this examining ourselves before we take the bread and the cup. And discerning the body of Christ. Yes, Jesus' body, and in addition to that, you and me together. living this thing out we call Christianity. Communion is signifying something that we are participating in. That's how Paul says it in a letter he wrote to the Philippians. We are participating in the death of Jesus, realizing that that death atones for our sins so that we might find life in his name. And this little piece of bread and this little cup of juice symbolizes this sign and this seal. In some mysterious way, God, through his Spirit, reminds us, conveys to us, impresses upon us the grace that he has poured out on us through the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. It is only through that lamb that was slain that this new covenant is inaugurated. Something new God is doing, that all might find life in his name. That veil that separated God from people in the temple was ripped in two, and through Jesus' life we have communion with the God of the universe. Sin no longer separates us because it was paid for once and for all on that cross. And Jesus bore it upon himself. And now we together as the body of Christ, the church, get to live that out. It's important for us to examine our own hearts and lives with where we're at with Jesus. The pastor of Grace EC Church has to do that in the exact same way that you have to do that. A sinner in need of grace. The other aspect of this that I think is important is discerning the body of Christ. One another. We don't come here just as individuals, but we together make up this body. And we got to celebrate God adding more participants, more body parts into this body to be used for his glory and for his honor, to equip people and help each other mature in what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And just like any family, that family has issues and problems too. But communion is an opportunity for us to go to that family member and say, hey, I'm sorry if I hurt you in some way. Hey, would you forgive me for that? Now, you don't have to do that right now, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to think about that, and maybe there's somebody you have to talk to. I don't know if there is, but communion gives us an opportunity for that rededication of ourselves to God, and for me, that rededication of our love for each other. How are they going to know that they're a part of Jesus's family? How are they going to know they're the body of Christ? By the way they love each other. That's how the world is going to know. So Paul says it's important to examine yourselves and to discern the body before you take this bread and this cup, which symbolizes and recognizes Jesus' death for us, for his church. We're going to do that with a song. As I pray, I'll invite the worship team to come forward, and then we'll prepare our hearts for communion with this song. Come to the altar. Let's pray. Lord God, as we come before you this morning to prepare for communion, God, we recognize that we are, as individuals, sinners in need of grace. We recognize, Lord, that our salvation has come at a great cost to Jesus. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we need that forgiveness of sin as individuals. But God, we know that we need that forgiveness of sin as the body of Christ as well. Brothers and sisters incorporated into this thing you are doing. So God, this morning as we prepare to receive these two simple elements, these symbols, this bread and this cup, that in some way through your Spirit provide this sign and this seal of what you have done for us through the death of Jesus. God, I pray that as we sing together, you would examine our own hearts and that we would not receive this cup and this bread in an unworthy manner, but we would recognize our own sinfulness. And God, that we would then experience the grace that you so love pouring out on your people. May your Spirit have his way in our hearts, in our minds, Lord, as we prepare to receive the bread and the cup. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.